the Air Force's top officer is trying to tamp down rumors the service might involuntarily extend the military service of some of its pilots. General David Goldfein says the authority to implement a so-called stop loss is only used in time of national emergency, and the Air Force's pilot shortage hasn't reached that level quite yet. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has more.
Goldfein, the Air Force Chief of Staff, insisted there are no plans to trigger a legal mechanism that lets the government respond to military manpower shortages by keeping troops on active duty beyond their agreed-to separation dates. The practice was widely criticized as a backdoor draft during the peak of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I'm not considering that. It's a tool in the Secretary's tool bag to use when we're in a state of emergency. And we're not in a state of emergency.
Stop loss became a topic of conversation within the Air Force earlier this week when Roll Call reported that such a program was under consideration, citing an interview with General Carlton Everhart, the commander of Air Mobility Command. Everhart, previewing a May summit with U.S. airline executives, told the publication that the Air Force wanted to find a consensus approach to preventing so many of its pilots from leaving the military to fly for airlines, and that he's already told airline representatives that if they can't meet the requirements, the chief could drop in a stop loss. But as Goldfein correctly pointed out on Wednesday, it's not within the authority of the Air Force Chief of Staff to authorize a stop loss. Congress gave that authority to the president in 1984, and in 1990, then-President George H.W. Bush delegated it to the Secretary of Defense. Since then, it's been used in both the first and second Iraq wars, including for up to 12,000 soldiers at any one time during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Goldfein says that while the Air Force's manpower shortage does not rise to emergency proportions, he does consider it a crisis. The service ended fiscal year 2016 with 1,555 fewer pilots than it believes it needs to meet its missions. Congress has already authorized bonus payments of up to $35,000 a year to boost retention, but Goldfein says monetary incentives haven't solved the problem, and that the pilot exodus points to broader problems that would likely take a decade to correct.
This is a supply-demand mismatch. The nation right now is producing less pilots than we need to be able to service commercial, business, and military aviation. And so you got to start this dialogue at the national level. And I've enlisted the help of Congress to work with me as the lead airman on behalf of my fellow Joint Chiefs, because we're all affected by this, to say, how do we first get at this at a level where we can look nationally at incentives to be able to increase the supply to better meet the demand.
But Goldfein says the Air Force has its own work to do in order to improve airmen's quality of service, suggesting that many pilots decide to leave the military because budget restrictions have constrained their ability to do what they signed up for, namely fly airplanes, particularly when they're stationed at units that aren't currently deployed to an active military engagement.
And I believe that morale is inextricably linked to readiness. And where you mentioned you were walking the line at Spangdahlem, if you felt like morale was pretty high, it's because we've been able to invest there to keep readiness at a high level. Because pilots who don't fly, maintainers who don't maintain, controllers who don't control, they won't stay with us. And so getting the readiness levels up so we're able to actually make quality of service the largest incentive for getting our pilots to stay, for me, is where I'm focused. And there's not going to be one big program or thing that we're going to do that's going to make pilots stay with us. It's going to be 100 little things. And it's going to be a journey we're going to be on for the next 10 years. And so what I've told our team is there's no such thing as a bad idea. Let's not waste a good crisis.
For instance, Goldfein says he's authorized squadron commanders to act on their own authority to remove any additional duties the service has previously required airmen to perform if, in those commanders' judgment, there's no obvious connection between those collateral functions and their squadron's primary missions. At an institutional level, the Air Force has already taken steps to eliminate additional duties. Last August, the service did away with or reallocated to civilian jobs 29 out of the 61 functions that all units are required to perform, including duties like web page maintainer, public affairs liaison, and defense travel system administrator. But the decision to allow individual squadrons and wings to squash administrative tasks that they believe are time wasters is a significant additional step.
So I had all the wing commanders together, and I said, listen, I want you to leave with two messages. I said, number one, I trust you. I completely and totally trust you. We hired you because we trust you and your gut. And message number two, because I trust you, don't wait for me. Do not wait for the Chief of Staff of the Air Force to come get after this. You start swinging away at it at your level, because the mission of the United States Air Force succeeds or fails at the squadron level, I believe. And the organizational chart, of the United States Air Force as I see it. I'm at the bottom, squadron commanders are at the top, and everybody else is in support. You know, my guidance to commanders is if you can't connect the dots between that duty and your mission, you're cleared hot to remove it.
The reduction in additional duties is meant to relieve non-operational burdens on not just pilots, but other personnel throughout Air Force squadrons, most notably maintainers. That's another area in which the Air Force has significant shortages. Goldfein says as things stand now, maintenance crews can little afford to spend time on additional duties since one crew is often performing the work of two or three.
When we were young, we'd show up at the aircraft and there'd be two crew chiefs, primary and dedicated, right? And then we taxied in the runway and there'd be a different team out there, right? Doing last chance, we called it, right? Pulling pins, arming bombs, right? And then we'd take off, do our sortie, fly to another location, there'd be another crew that was waiting for us there. So here's what happens today very often. You taxi slow because the same single crew chief's got to get in the van and rush it in the runway and arm the bombs, and right? And then fly slow because that crew chief's got to get in a C-17 and fly to the next destination. The challenge with that, of course, is that it masks the problem, right? Because if you go back and look at the stats, did you take off on time? Yes. Did you fly your sortie? Yes, right? But did you do that on the backs of those young men and women who are out there, you know, turning wrenches and doing the incredible work that they do on these older airplanes? So we got to get more people.
Goldfein has already proposed to grow the active duty Air Force to 350,000 airmen from its current size of 317,000. Congress so far has approved plans to increase the force to 321,000 by the end of this year, but that won't be possible if lawmakers leave the government funded with a continuing resolution for the rest of 2017.
For the Air Force, it'll be about a $2.8 billion bill that I've got to find the money for to balance out. So the first thing that'll happen to the Air Force is we'll stop our in-strength growth that we've been on that gets directly at the heart of our readiness. So that's the immediate impact. And I will tell you, that's also the long-term impact, because the longer it takes me to bring those folks on, the longer it takes me to actually start improving readiness for full spectrum conflict, which is where the secretary, you know, is focused for all the services. Any of the, you know, personnel actions that were laid into that budget, for those that we have committed to, because we won't break faith with our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines when it comes to, you know, pay raises and what have you. You know, we will be responsible for now finding that money. And so when you start adding up the things that you have to do to find $2.8 billion in the remaining year, it starts doing significant damage.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.